Welcome to the Live Your Mission podcast. This is Paul Evans, episode number 2, The Trilogy Protocol. Growing up, I wanted to be a superhero. A lot of kids, you know, want to be that, right? And I couldn't decide which one I wanted to be. When I lived out in the country, I actually wanted to be Tarzan. Yeah, I believed he was actually a superhero. I read all of the Edgar Rice Burroughs books, and because we lived out in away from civilization, I figured, man, this is it. This is perfect. I'll never need to go into the city. But a couple of years later, we actually moved back into the city, and I had to change my superhero focus. So I decided maybe I would be Batman, maybe Spider-Man. Couldn't really see myself being Superman. I didn't know how I was going to get those powers, but the rest seemed possible. And around this time on television, this is going to take us back in time right now, getting the time machine, came on The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno. I think this was the late 70s, 1970s. And when I saw that, I knew that was it. If I could get some gamma rays, if somehow I could alter my DNA, I could be the Hulk. And so mentally, I transformed myself into that, even though I was about 4'6" and weighed, you know, maybe 100 pounds. So I got me some blue jeans, cut those off at the knees. I was skinny as a rail, but in my mind, I was the Hulk. I went all around our small town, terrorizing everybody. I would growl. I would do the crab. That's that muscular shot that the Hulk always did when he would put his fist together and show his traps and his pecs and just look so amazing, right? Well, at least to me back then. And so I would go around town doing that. I always would stop in front of the hair salon. And this is where all the little old ladies, the blue hairs, don't be offended if you're a blue hair listening to this, would go in and they would spend just about a whole afternoon talking and sharing and getting their hair done. And my grandmother was one that would go in there and get her hair done. She would go in and get beautified. Well, I loved to stand in front of the shop because the front was just a mirror. And I could stand there for an hour just growling and grunting and hitting that most muscular pose and really letting it rip. And I thought it was so awesome that I could see myself. What I didn't know was that everyone inside the shop could see me. This was before I realized that it was one of those reflective pieces of glass that made you reflect if you're on the outside, but allowed you to see through it if you were on the inside. Well, I found out later from my grandmother, but that all of those little old ladies just thought I was hilarious. Well, of course, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to be a superhero. I was on a mission. And when it comes to our life and we're searching for that mission, I want to talk to you about the trilogy protocol, how we actually become superheroes in life because we're focused and we're doing what we really need to do. So there's three elements to this. Number one is assigned. Assigned. Somebody else gives us this assignment. It's like you've been chosen. You know, when you think about the Apostle Paul and his conversion, you know, that was an assigned mission, right? It was not his plan. He didn't sit down and chart it out. It happened to him. Most of the time, our assignment either comes through a calling. Maybe we feel like, you know, this is it. I can tell that I'm selected for this. Or it could simply be that we're assigned because of the moment in time that we are in this season of life. So that if I've got a certain job, I've been assigned a role. It's not optional. I don't get to argue about it. I don't get to decide or not if I'm going to do this job, if I'm going to keep my job. And so it's an assigned mission. So that's the first element of this trilogy protocol, is to realize that some of the things in our life are just assigned. We don't necessarily decide those. We don't go out and make tremendous plans for those necessarily, but they just happen to be there. You know, we may decide to become a parent, but once we have a child, that is an assigned mission. It's now not optional. If you go to paulbevans.com and click the About link at the top, you'll see a video there with my story. And in that, I tell about the loss of my first wife, Sherry. She actually passed away in my arms. And our son was 5 weeks old at the time. Now, this is over 19 years ago now at the time of this recording. But when she passed away and I was a single dad, that was an assigned mission. It was not optional. I didn't have any decisions to make. I had to move forward, right? So look at your life and sit down with a sheet of paper, write down assigned. What elements of your life are you not in control of? You don't get to call the shots in. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes when I say something like that, people are like, ooh, I don't want anything that I'm not in control of. That's just part of life. It's part of living. So write down the areas that you are assigned a mission on right now. Now, the second area to write down is accepted. Accepted. These are areas that you do get to decide, but maybe it wasn't your first inclination. Somebody came to you with this type of focus or this direction. So when you accept a mission, it may be because of your talents or your gifts or your abilities. And the other people see you and believe that you would be good for a task. They see what you're able to do and they call you into action. Because of my loss, I'll have people that'll call me and say, I just heard of somebody who's young, who just lost their spouse and they've got young children. Well, I'm called into action because of that past experience, right? So it's an accepted mission. I get to say yes or no to it. Of course, I definitely say yes, but people will call us and say, here's what I'd like for you to do. Are we going to accept that mission or not? Your mission, should you choose to accept it? Those familiar words from Mission Impossible. We really get to decide if we're going to accept it or not. A few years ago at church, we had a friend day, and we usually have a meal on that day. And for some reason, they decided to put me in charge of this meal. I think I was absent at that meeting that they were making all the assignments. And I ended up getting assigned this, and I tried to not accept it. I said, guys, you don't want me in charge of this meal. It'll be embarrassing. I've got severe problems with structure. I'm completely picky as an eater. I only eat about four things. Come on, guys. This does not make any sense. You're making a bad decision. And they said, no, you'll do great. You're good at things like this. I said, you've never seen me do things like this. You don't know if I'm good at it or not. I've seen me like this. It won't be good. They wouldn't have any of it. So I was in charge that day. And I did what I thought was a good job. I got some juice. I got some muffins that came wrapped in cellophane. So I knew that they were going to remain fresh. And I think that's about all I got. Well, the next week we had another meeting and someone who did not know that I was in charge of this meal said, I don't know who did the meal, but it was awful. It was embarrassing. We do not need to have them in charge again. Of course, I raised my hand and said, guilty. But I warned you guys, I did not need to be in charge of this. But sometimes people will look in, they'll see our talents, our gifts, our abilities, or at least assume them, and then they will put forth a calling or put forth a request to see if we're willing to come on board with this. All right, here's an area that you really do need to be aware of what you can and what you can't do. Now, often people do say, I can't do that, and they really can't. So when I told them I couldn't do it, they thought I was kidding around more than being serious. But I'm very aware of what my gifts, talents, and abilities are, and I know where I need to be called into action. And if I get called into action on something that I don't feel confident in, I'll ask for directions. I'll ask for how to do it. I want to make sure that I'm going to do a good job with it. But get out that same sheet of paper that you wrote down, assigned on, and put accepted. And write down, keep a list of what people have asked you about, or commented on, or complimented you on. That's how we determine and discover exactly what we're good at and what people rely on us for. And so we can launch into our mission with that because we know, okay, they've asked me to do this. I can now accept it. So there's assigned, there's accepted, and then third, there's assembled. When you assemble a mission, this is something that's all on your own. No one assigned it. No one asked you about it. You decided that this was what I was going to do. This is exactly what happens every New Year's when we get all of our resolutions out and we look at things that are relational and social, educational, intellectual, physical, spiritual, financial, recreational, all of those things, we come together in our minds and say, I want to go forward. You know, I'm going to make this physical goal. I'm going to make this spiritual goal. This is the first time that I'm going to read through the whole Bible in a year. Or we make an educational goal. Like my goal for this year is to read 104 books. Half of those, or probably three quarters of those, will be nonfiction, and about a quarter will be fiction. So three quarters will be educational, and one quarter will be recreational. And so we start assembling this. We invent it. We decide on the mission, and we go for it. Now, with things that are assigned and accepted and assembled, we can start getting pretty excited, right? We can say, you know what? That's really what I want to do, and that's how I want to do it. And we'll begin to get focused. We'll begin to do what we need to do, and we'll get on that path. Now, the truth is, the things that we've assembled, we tend to start out with the most energy on, and then we'll kind of get lax. The things that we've accepted, we tend to see that through to completion because somebody else was depending on us. And the things that are assigned, we just do. And the assigned things are the ones that become the most mundane. We do them day in, day out, and they become a habit. The assigned is almost long term. The accepted tends to be short term, and the assembled is short term, or could even be lifelong if that's what we decide it to be. So I want to turn the corner a little bit and shift into how we make the mundane a mission. How do we take the things that we're working on, regardless of how they came about, assigned, accepted, assembled, and how do we get in there and really work on those in a positive way and in a powerful way to keep meaning? Because our days can all run together. It can feel like deja vu. We can collapse at night, and we'll know that we've been busy, but we're not really sure that we accomplished anything. And so I want to give you three initiatives to use in the Trilogy Protocol. Hopefully that's not, you know, too crazy with alliteration. Three initiatives to turn the mundane into a mission. Initiative number one, detail the to-do list. Detail the to-do list. Most of us keep a mental list of exactly what we have to do. But the question is, are we keeping a physical list? And if we do, if we have it on a little notepad or post-it note, is the physical list shorthand or longhand? I want to encourage you to put the details on the list. Make it longhand. For example, if I say something like, I want to listen to 30 minutes of Andy Stanley's Be Rich series on the way to work. Yesterday, Andy covered, and I might have a couple of the points as a reminder of what he covered the day before. You see, that's a lot better than saying something like, listen to spiritual growth stuff on the way to work. You see how much more detailed it is? Listen to 30 minutes of Andy Stanley's Be Rich on the way to work. Yesterday, Andy covered blank. The more specific we are, the more important our minds label the task. So maybe you're picking up your son and three friends for a game. You might write down something like carpool. You know, that doesn't sound very swanky, does it? Sure, that's what you're doing technically, but you can make it missional by focusing on the kids' names, thinking a minute about their home life, and then talk with them with purpose along the way. That way you're not just running an errand, you're interacting and impacting. So you might say something like this on your note, pick up Zach, Stephen, and Lincoln for soccer. See, that's very detailed. It's got the names down. It's not simply carpool. So you can take that and you can detail it even further and turn it into a mission by hitting initiative number two, define the benefit. Initiative number one, detail the to-do list. Initiative number two, define the benefit. So after you detail the to-do, write down at least one positive possible outcome for each task. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to come about, but it could come about. Some of the things you'll be able to control, some will simply be ideas. So I might say something like this. Listen to 30 minutes of Andy Stanley's Be Rich on the way to work. Learn new insights about money. Become more conscious of the way I spend each dollar. So that benefit is that I'm going to become a lot more conscious. That's the overall benefit. I'm going to learn, become more conscious. Obviously, the end result is that I will be better with my money. That's the end goal, right? So I define that benefit. Now, with the carpooling, I might say something like, pick up Zach, Stephen, and Lincoln for soccer. Comment on the good grades I heard Zach got. Check on Stephen's sister. Ask about Lincoln's family vacation. This will help me develop a caring attitude for others and be interested in what's going on with them and build them up at the same time. Now, I know that seems really detailed, but let me ask you this. Do either of those statements that I just gave you, do those sound like spiritual growth stuff or carpooling? No. They sound much more like a mission. Don't both have more importance and weight when they're detailed statements and the benefits are listed and defined? You know it. You know they have more weight and more importance. And so let's look at our life that way. It doesn't mean that every moment's going to count. Let me do a quick sidebar. You know, we often say things like, make every moment count. That's not actually possible. We know that, right? We can't do that. There's a handful of people on the planet that are so driven, so focused, it seems like every moment counts. But we all have those moments that don't count. And we need those non-counting moments. We need time to rest and relax and disengage. But when we're going about our day, our errands, let's give them more weight. Let's give them more importance. So initiative one is to detail the to-do list. Initiative two, define the benefit. And initiative three, describe the value. At the end of each day or at the end of each week, perform a detailed review. Michael Hyatt schedules 2 hours on Sunday evenings for his weekly review and planning. 2 hours as part of his Create Your Life Plan workbook. And if you go to michaelhyatt.com, you'll see it right there on his site. I highly recommend it. Download it and get it. Now, the 2 hours on a Sunday evening or a 2-hour weekly review, that can sound like overkill, right? Well, sure it does. If you want to remain mundane. When you review your week, write down exactly how you grew and how you helped others. Again, I want you to be specific. You'll be amazed at the amount of good that you're doing, that you've written down mentally. Once you write it down, you'll be blown away. You'll be like, wow, I didn't even realize that I did all of this. You'll begin to recognize the impact you're having, the impact that you've been ignoring. And you'll never hit the pillow at night and wonder if you accomplished anything. You'll be able to lay down in total comfort, conviction, knowing that you have achieved. So you may say something along these lines in your review. I escaped a completely worthless purchase on Tuesday because of Andy's teaching. That money can be put in Sharon's college fund instead. So now I'm describing the value. I listened to Andy's teaching, and instead of making a purchase that I normally would have made, I escaped it. I put that money instead into a college fund. That's valuable. Now with the carpooling example, I'm just going to say that to make it easy, even though we've already made it clear that it's much more than carpooling. It may be something like this that you write down. Zach smiled when I asked about his grades. These might seem small, but they're really not. Each time we detail, define, describe our task, we fill them with more meaning. We no longer have anything that we do that's really mundane. Instead, it all becomes a mission. And in the end, we all become superheroes to those around us, to our family, to our friends, perhaps to our church, congregation. We become heroes to those who are around us that see us. Whether our mission is assigned, whether it's accepted, or whether it's assembled, regardless, we're out there doing good things, creating value, making an impact, reviewing our lives, and know that it counts. Live your mission. Visit me online, paulbevans.com. paulbevans.com. Be sure to sign up for my newsletter. Check out some of the articles and other podcasts there at the site. Hope you're blessed this week. Continue to live out your mission. Continue to be the Trilogy Protocol. Be blessed.